setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, this is, in fact, The Ken Coleman Show, where we talk about you specifically, how you can win at work and also win at life. They are connected way more than you realize, and they should be connected so that you are winning big time. Big time. And we want to help you do that. We've got a very clear path for you. There are seven stages. If you think about work that you love, your dream job, in the context of climbing a mountain, we've got seven stages. We unpack them deep dive in the new book, the best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose, my latest book, best-selling book. You can get it at kencoleman.com, wherever books are sold. And we also have the Get Clear Career Assessment for those of you who are in that, I'm not sure what it is, I have no idea stage. Now, for the rest of you, you're on your way. You're getting qualified, you're getting connected, you've started, you're about ready to start, you want to get promoted, you need to get promoted, you've been passed over, you want to move up into that dream job so you can truly give yourself away where you're making great money and great impact. We can help you there as well. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. So I want to talk about a cute little phrase that begins a journey for so many people. And it seems harmless, and in some ways it is harmless, but it speaks more to the attitudes, the expectations that we put on ourselves that we don't escape. And here's the phrase. It's the worst career question, the worst life question you could ask somebody. What do you want to be when you grow up? Or excuse me. I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do when you grow up, right? And they say, well, I want to be a cowboy. I want to be a taxi driver. And the cute little kids, they say all these things. And it's based on the last thing they've seen or last thing they've been fascinated by. And you go, Ken, what's wrong with saying that? Well, inherently, there's nothing wrong with it. But it begins to create a narrative that sticks with us. It's limiting. It creates a limiting kind of psychology around work. It's limited to a specific path. It's all about the job, the J-O-B. It's not about purpose and mission. It starts to create this whole identity around a title. Oh, this is what I'm going to do. And it begins to feel like this is who I am. And that's the question. We need to kind of move away from what do you want to do when you grow up to who do you want to become? See, as the kid gets older, it's less about cutesy-wootsy, and we're really, truly trying to have a conversation that would inspire or provoke some thought and action. That's where this goes. And that's why I'm saying it needs to be reframed and re-asked. Who do you want to become? This is a limitless question. Opening up untold pathways. Tons of pathways and options. It focuses on purpose, not a job or a title. And it expands that identity to not just what they do, but who they are. And seeing that who they are should inform what they do. This is the right perspective. And so this is the right conversation. And I really want parents of young kids that are listening in for yourself to go, hey, this is not only something that I'm working on, but I can do this. Hey, if you're a teacher, you're a leader, you're a coach, and you're listening to this, hey, let's focus on that. Who do you want to become? And when we can get them envisioning who they want to be, it will inform and reveal what they want to do. That's the power of this conversation. Let's focus on helping our kids envision who they want to be. Then what they want to do will be a much easier discovery. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Let's go to Stacy, who joins us in Atlanta, Georgia. Stacy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Merry Christmas, Ken.
Merry Christmas to you. What's going on?
Yes, so unfortunately, I'm trying to do some damage control on my reputation at work.
Oh, no. What happened? Yes. What happened?
Well, a new manager was hired, and then she heard from other managers that I have a reputation of pushing back against feedback, and I don't think that's true. I mean, I'm a person that answers, that asks questions and stuff like that, so I don't know what to do.
Okay. So have you had a chance to talk with the new leader?
Yes, I did have a chance to talk with her, but she seemed like she was just believing that part. And then I have another meeting with her and her boss on Friday. So I just want to know what I should do.
What do you think that meeting's about?
Well, I asked them for more context in regards to how exactly I was pushing back against feedback. And, you know, because they weren't clear. So I don't know if it's because...
Well, because the new leader doesn't have this opinion. This new leader was given that opinion, correct?
Correct, yes.
So she has the opinion because it was given to her. She's not experienced mm-hmm. it, true or false?
True.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, this has got a lot of gray area to it. First thing I want you to do is I want you to be open to the fact that some of this critique is true.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it's possible that that's how you're coming across, whether you mean to or not? By asking questions, when feedback is given and you're asking questions, are you asking questions to get to the bottom of how you're coming across, or are you asking questions going, why do you think that?
No, I literally told them that I believe that feedback is a gift. And of course but I just wanted to know specific examples of how, because it was news to me. I actually didn't know that was happening.
So you're not sure that you're actually doing this. You think it's possible that the previous, was it a previous leader that reported this?
Yeah, because I guess she didn't like that I kind of blew up her spot. I told, you know, the previous leader, I told her that, you know, I have more experience I work in healthcare.
Got it.
And I've been working in healthcare since I was 18 years old, and I'm in my 30s now.
Got
and
it.
These are people that don't have that kind of background. And so it was.
So you shared your opinion freely. And
exactly.
So here's what I want you to do. On Friday, I want you to go in and go, I've really spent some time in self-reflection. I really have. And I wasn't asking you all for specific examples to try to debate this. I just want to learn from it. And the previous leader is no longer here, so I'm kind of at a disadvantage. But I'll tell you this. I've done some self-reflection. I do value feedback. And I'm going to be very self-aware, and I'm going to work on this, and we can measure this. And I would ask for you to give me a chance to show you by working with me that I'm all about feedback, and I'm here to add value. That's all you can do. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and life, making more money, experiencing more meaning in your work. Ha ha ha! How about that? Where the weekend is awesome, not because you've been miserable all week, but because you've been getting after it. Now it's time to rest and restore. And you're driving in on Monday a little bit juiced because you know, oh, I'm going to make me some money and enjoy doing it. That's what the Ken Coleman Show is about. Let's go. 844-747-2577. One of the ways to find that right job is if you know what it is and you know it's on purpose. It's allowing you to spend, and here's the formula, 75% of your day doing work you're good at. 75% of your day doing work you love. 75% of your day, rule of thumb here, doing work that's producing results that you connect to. There's a values connection. It matters to you. If you know what that is, and you want to get the right gig for that, you're going, okay, Ken, it feels a little intimidating. It takes a lot of time too. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go. As soon as you hear this, bookmark it. Go later. Go. First of all, it's a free service and it's the best. And there's a lot of their competitors out there advertising. Come to them, come to them. But they're number one because of their technology and their effectiveness. Within minutes at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, you fill out a profile, upload your resume, and they begin recruiting for you. They start pitching you actively, matching you to jobs they have on their site. They also update you flawlessly. It's so nice. You get an email. Hey, company XYZ just liked your profile. Company XYZ just looked at you. They want your contact info, and they put them in touch with you directly. It's the best way, easiest way to get hired. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Let's get to the phone. Steve is with us now in Phoenix, Arizona. Steve, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help, Steve?
So earlier this year, I thought I got a dream job teaching middle school. But for me, it's been very difficult. And I like what you mentioned in the beginning of this portion of the show. I don't go to work juiced. I go to work miserable, wanting to turn around and go the other way.
Mm. Why is that? What is specifically, what's draining you? And I want you to think of everything from people to environment to process to specific tasks. What drains you to where you go, I don't even want to go in?
Yeah, it's definitely the students, I would say, because I like teaching and I like disseminating information.
Ooh.
But managing the kids, that is, they're pretty wild, I guess.
They don't want to be there.
Yeah, they don't want to be there, and that's hard for me because I would like to teach them.
Because you want to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I got to tell you, this is very important here. The reason I asked you the question is I need to know what's draining you because that determines whether or not we leave a profession or not. So
okay.
I'm going to take a stab at this, and I think that you're doing the right thing in the wrong place.
Oh, okay.
Meaning you love instructing. You love teaching. You love communicating, connecting. All of those statements true?
Yes.
You don't like doing it where you're doing it because of the people that don't want to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it would be a mistake if you were to leave the profession of instructing. This is what's kind of fun. It'll feel a little scary at first, but there are a lot of different jobs and career paths that would allow you to spend 75% of your day instructing people. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, this could be corporate training, HR training, safety training. I'm making all kinds of stuff up right now, right? College professor, community college professor, online, you know, adult continuing education, specific trade training. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So really, I think you have a pretty good idea of the topical instruction that you enjoy. True?
Yeah.
What is it?
I really like teaching people to, I talk a lot about corporate training or HR because I like teaching people to be better employees, be better leaders.
Oh my gosh.
And
well, this was pretty easy.
Yeah.
This is pretty easy. So now let's just apply where we are to the seven stages. Get clear.
Okay.
You're clear on the type of teaching that would really fire you up. You're pretty certain about
it. Yeah.
All right. I want you to do one little thing as an extra, and you may have already done it. I want you to connect with somebody who's in one of those roles that you listed out. HR, okay. Corporate training, whatever. I want you to spend time with two or three of those people and just do a little basic college book report on them, right? What do they love the most? Right. What do they like the least? Just so you get final confirmation. Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Assuming you're going to get total confirmation and you're totally clear, you move to stage two, get qualified. So you need to figure out the four qualifying questions in the book From Paycheck to Purpose. We go in depth to this. I'm going to give you the book as my gift to spur you on, okay?
Oh, thank you.
You bet. So here's the deal. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? How much is it going to cost me? How long is that going to take? That's how you come up with your plan to transition from being a school teacher to corporate training. You got it?
Yeah.
Now, listen, while you're getting qualified, you're going to be in stage three, getting connected. Those people that you're going to connect with just to get final confirmation are also connections on potential opportunities, okay? And I write about all of the seven stages in the book From Paycheck to Purpose. It's the total clear path, right? So while you're getting qualified, Steve, you're going to get connected, and hopefully you get opportunities that are presented to you even before you're done getting qualified or they're waiting for you. And then boom, you're going to get the opportunity to step in stage four, get started. And now it's the journey about starting well and then getting promoted and moving up the ladder. And you'll eventually step into your dream job and you will be in stage six and seven. Give yourself away because you're working for impact because the income is there. You got it?
I got it. Yeah.
Now, the whole plan is in the book, the best-selling book, my new book, From Paycheck to Purpose. Hold on the line. Amanda's going to get it to you. I want you to read it. And more importantly, I want you to follow it. All right? Because if you do that, you're going to win. You're going to absolutely win. You're going to win because we've got a plan. Now, here's the deal. I want to make sure people understand this. This is a young man who went to be a teacher, and he realizes all of a sudden, I don't like teaching middle schoolers. Not because he dislikes middle schoolers, but because middle schoolers don't want to pay attention. There's behavior issues. And he's going, have I wasted my life? It's a very confusing, disheartening thing. And so he calls and he says, Ken, I need help figuring out something else to do. When in all reality, he doesn't need to change his profession of teaching. He needs to change his location of teaching. So the profession, I am a professional instructor, trainer. So if I'm a professional instructor, I could be instructing people on how to fly a plane. I could be teaching people how to use a welding machine or whatever. You know, I could do anything. So then we begin to focus in on, well, what do I want to teach? Who do I want to teach that to? And that was the shift. But I will also tell you that analysis where I said, hey, you're doing the right thing in the wrong place, that's going to set a lot of you free. But I want you to understand it's okay to feel that confusion because you're going, I don't like coming in. And so what we've got to do is we got to have the maturity to back up a little bit and go, why don't I like coming in? What is truly draining me? And when we get to the source of the pain, now we can treat the pain. But when all we try to do is medicate the pain, distract from the pain, we don't ever get to the source of the pain and heal the pain. And that's where a lot of people go, oh, I think I'm going to medicate the pain by changing professions. And then you get over here and you go, oh, it's a different kind of pain. That didn't work. And so people just hop around, hopefully finding the source of the problem. No. You got to get to the source. When we know the source, we can get healing and we can move on. Don't move. More of the Ken Coleman Show coming right up. helping you get unstuck and win at work and in your life, living on purpose. There is a unique role that the world needs you to fill, relationally and professionally. And we talk about how they work together. We want to help you make a lot of money and experience a lot of meaning. It is possible. They don't have to be separate. Work is a four-letter word for so many people. Woo, we're going to challenge that because it can be an amazing experience. You look back on your life and go, hey, I made a great income, but I also made a great impact. 844-747-2577 is the number. So I told you folks that I was seeing the tea leaves. I told you I watched the news and I said, I'm telling you, in the next 6 months, you're going to start seeing a real movement for a four-day work week. I go, it's coming. It's coming. And it is here. Let's get into it in the news. Okay, so here we go. Business Insider reports progressives in Congress are backing a bill for a four-day work week. Now, I'll address what I think about Congress putting out federal legislation on this in a moment. But first, this is important for you to know, because this is catching some steam. The Congressional Progressive Caucus just endorsed a bill entitled 32-Hour Workweek Act. And according to a statement from Representative Mark Takano, the Democrat representing California's 41st Congressional District, there are 100 legislators behind this. And they are saying, we believe the time has come. Far too long, he said, workers across this country have been forced to put in longer hours as their wages barely budge. Well, that's incomplete information. But that's fine. Not the point of me sharing the article. This is catching some momentum across the globe. In Iceland, they piloted a four-day work week, and they found that it did not lead to a drop in productivity. And it did result in workers reporting less stress and burnout and higher levels of positivity and happiness. Countries like Scotland, Japan, and Sweden are all trialing the concept as well. Okay, two thoughts on legislation being introduced in Congress for a four-day work week. First of all, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. You got major corporations with their structure. They're not even possibly ready to do something about this. And there's a major lobbying presence in D.C., obviously. I don't think this legislation gets to committee. Gets out of committee. I still think it does. And I would also tell you that Congress getting into the business of legislating how many hours a company can or cannot suggest or require is unconstitutional. So the legislation piece, I didn't bring up the article to talk about that, other than to say it's not going anywhere and this legislation isn't going to cause something to happen anytime soon. It's never going to go anywhere. But the bigger issue is, how long will this concept take to catch on in the United States? The reality is that I don't know. However, I think it's going to take a lot longer because of the organizational structure of business in the United States. And let's just take a snapshot of what's going on. Right now, post-pandemic, where a ton of people, and we see remote workers talked about way more than we ever did before, only 12% of American workers are working remote. So that's still obviously a minority sliver of the amount of workers we have in the United States working remote. So here's the point. If you're holding out and you're going, I'm never going back, I'm only going to work remote jobs, you are still limited. The numbers say you're limited. Now, the four-hour work week, do I think this is going to catch on? I do. And I think what will get it going big time is one or two major companies, we're talking big-time corporations now, who are responsible to stockholders, investors, profitability statements. That stuff matters. And so it won't catch on until big time organizations test it enough or come up with new systems that would support a four-day work week. Okay. Now, one country, United Arab Emirates, has already announced that all of their government employees, their federal employees, will move to a 4.5-day work week starting January 2022. So Friday at noon, they're all hitting the time card. So really interesting. Keep your eye on it. It'll be very interesting. We are in a time right now, folks, where we're seeing shifting sands in so many areas of our culture, and work is one of them. And it is the wild, wild west out there. It'll be very interesting to see what happens over the next 24 months in these areas of remote work and the shorter work week. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Gloria in Brentwood, California. Gloria, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Gloria. What's going on with you?
So my son and I, we live in California. We're near the Bay Area, and we're looking to move to Southern California. So my question is, how do I make connections for employment before the move so that I could be more established?
Yeah. Do you have any friends and family in that area that you're planning to move to?
Friends, but what I have done so far is I have connected with the church. I've connected with some Bible study groups.
Great.
And that's pretty much it. My son is in youth groups, so I've connected with a youth group leader out there for him. And he's also with he does like this cadet. He's a teen, so he's in like a cadet type program. So we found one out there. So,
great.
But now it's the career part is what I need help with.
Yeah, but I asked you about all those connections because that's where the career opportunities are going to come from.
Okay.
Because that was the source of your question. How do I find opportunities before I get out there on the ground, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. You're doing all the right things for your career as well. It is those same connections that you will build from and spread out. And so all of the parents in the youth group, the youth group leader, all of your friends you mentioned, they are connected. Let me give you an example that I think will kind of take the fear out of this. How many people would you say, I want you to take an educated guess, and don't give me some wild, crazy number, be conservative. How many people would you say your friends out there know? Each of them. Each friend, how many people would you say they know in that area?
I don't know. Maybe, because they probably have family as well.
Yeah,
and
give me a number.
Their coworkers.
Give me a number. Fun number.
I'll just say 52. I'll just say 50. I don't know.
Okay, great. Like I said, there's no wrong answer, right? Okay, how many friends do you have out there? What's the number?
1, 2, 3. I'd say maybe about 6.
Six.
About 6 far, yeah.
So 6 friends, 50 people each. I think that number's really low. I think it's probably in the 200 range.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's just run the numbers on that. That's how many people right now that you have access to. That's just the starting point. So here's the deal. The narrative is, hey, friends, hey, other parents of my son's friends in youth group, we're moving to the area. This is what I do. I'm looking for jobs in this area. I'm highly qualified. I've also found 5 companies that have a position each at each one that I'm qualified for and interested in. Do you know anybody that works at those companies? Can you make a connection for me so that I'm not just submitting a resume blindly on a website? Do you see where this is going?
Yes, I see exactly where it's going.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to give you a copy of my brand new best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose. I want you to read it, but I want you to do a deep dive on stage 3, Get Connected. Okay? Because you getting connected right now, and you can do it from afar. That is how opportunities are going to reveal themselves to you, and that's how you're going to win those interviews, because they're going to hear great things about you before you ever walk in the door. You got this. Hang on the line. We'll give you a copy From Paycheck to Purpose. The rest of you, go get it. KenColeman.com. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win in your work so that you're winning in life. Ugh, life is too short to deal with all the crap that comes with not doing work that you really, really enjoy, work that you were born to do. We're going to tie all that in for you and help you find it, help you move into it, help you get promoted while you're in it, and truly work like very few people do. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Eric joins us in Newark, New Jersey. Eric, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how you doing, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Eric. How can I help you today?
Yes, I had a question. Is there a system or a process that I can follow to keep me organized with getting qualified, networking, going on interviews, and how much time should I allot per task weekly while I'm managing my family and a full-time job?
Well, I don't have a formulaic answer. You know, it's impossible to do so. It's kind of a twofold answer. The first part of the answer is the necessary amount. And the second part is the necessary amount out of what realistically you have to devote to it, right? So it's like kind of back into this one. It's like, all right, I've got a certain amount of duties. And if I'm going to sit down and be really, really honest with, okay, I got basic things I got to do, but how much time realistically do I have outside of other things that are without question, mandatory, non-negotiable? Then once I get that amount of time, then I go, okay, how much of that time should I be giving to it? And I'd go, all of it. Cause you want to move, you want to get qualified, right?
Right, exactly.
And so the more time you give to it, the quicker you get out of it. Yes?
Yes, that's correct.
So where is the challenge? Give me some more specifics. I appreciate the question. It's a really good question. But can you be more specific where I can kind of dive into something here that you feel like is a challenge for you? There's something that – there's a deeper question behind the question you asked me.
Well, I work a full-time job and I get off and I help with family at night. I did your assessment. I found time to do that. But my current employer's job hours can be sporadic at times. So I'm trying to stay organized while doing it. So my next step would be to, I did the assessment. So then I want to do the resume and then I want to connect and at some point go on interviews, but I want to stay organized. So cause I may interview with several companies.
Yeah. So what do you mean by organized? Feels like are you a bit on the OCD side of things? Be honest.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I can tell. Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you laughed at that, cause that's no judgment. It's just so obvious. So this is going to be a challenge. So you're paralyzed over like the process and how you do it exactly, and you want to be organized. Here's the deal. Getting qualified is pretty straightforward. What do you have to do to get qualified? Right. Is it a certification? Is it an online class? What is it?
Well, my assessment says that I have talent in research and being efficient, those sorts of things. So I'm not exactly, that could be any company or any industry that
I'm sorry. So you started off the call saying after you're clear, I thought you were pretty clear on what you want to do. You're really not there yet.
Oh, I'm not?
I'm asking.
I took the assessment.
No, I know you took the assessment, but I know you're clear on your purpose statement, but do you have a job you're targeting, a career path you're targeting?
No, I don't have that part yet.
You got to get that. So first things first.
Oh, okay.
What is it that we want to do? Now that we've got that purpose statement, we've got to now look to, and the professional possibilities that we gave you in the assessment, those are just ideas to get your brain turning, right? Some of them may sound right to you. Some of them may be off. That's what it's supposed to do. But you've got to go do research. You're good at it. You got to go research. Yeah. What are the jobs out there that allow me to do this purpose statement? Here's what you do. You look at that purpose statement and you go, what are jobs that I could spend about 75% of my day doing this work I love? and creating results that matter to me, right? That's what you got to do.
Yes.
Go do the research. After you see the jobs that are out there, get that resume ready to go. That's going to take you less than 30, 40 minutes, and then start applying. Stop thinking and start doing. That's your problem. Just do it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win in your work and win in your life. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go north of the border, our neighbors in Canada, Alberta, Canada, is where Kyler joins us. Kyler, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I just want to say, thank you for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help you today?
So recently I thought I found my dream job. You know, I had a proposed start date, offer letter in hand, and, you know, everything was going well, good. I worked for this company for a year and was moving into a new position. But unfortunately, I got a criminal record, and they did a record check and rescinded my offer letter. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, how do I deal with this rejection? And, where do I go from here?
Well, how do you deal with the rejection? In this case, I don't think you're shocked, correct?
I was a little bit shocked because, you know, like, I had an offer letter in hand. Nobody kind of told me that, you know, the record check was going to be coming up. It was a last minute thing that they did. And they kind of said that they would assess things on a case by case basis.
So they're
still looking for somebody in that position. So I'm just kind of wondering, you know, where do I go from here?
Yeah, I get that. But what I'm saying is are you shocked that they did a background check? And are you shocked that they found that you have a criminal record? And are you shocked that they then rescinded the offer because of that? I mean, is that a surprise to you?
Well, I was upfront with them about the criminal record, and that's when they told me that they would review it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, great. Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand. Because that rejection part is, it hurts, it stings, right? But at the same time, you know you're up against it, right? You know this is...
Of course.
And by the way, can I say unequivocally, I think it's garbage. I think that if you've paid your time, and you have, then we ought to give people a second chance. Now, I think there are some boundaries. They looked at your case, and they must have felt like it wasn't a good fit. So is this a... How serious of an infraction is this?
I did some jail time.
Was it violent?
No.
Was it drug-related
offenses.
Okay, great. And what kind of a job was this that you applied for?
It's a process operator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's oil and gas.
Yeah. See, I look at that and I go, you did illegal drugs. There's not a temptation on the job for you on that. But if you had stolen money, right, and you had defrauded people and you were applying for an accounting position where you're in a position to move the numbers around, obviously that there's a boundary there for companies. So in this case, it stinks. What's next? I think you're going to have to build such a strong case every time you apply that hopefully will overcome their fear, because companies turning you down because you spent time in jail for drugs is based on fear. And I would say justifiable fear. Why am I going to hire Kyler? Training pain. And he falls back into the drug addiction, which is very reasonable for them to believe. Wrong as though it may be, because I believe you're going to stay clean. It's possible, true or false.
It wasn't drug addiction. It was drug trafficking, if that makes a difference.
Okay. Yeah, slightly. You weren't addicted. You were just selling it. So I do feel better about that one. So they're going to have fears, right? So you have to overcome their fears. And the way you're going to have to do this is have highly reputable people, high character people that maybe know somebody within the company that go to bat for you so that you're not just going through this process by yourself. So, for instance, let's say you had a longtime family friend or one of your coaches, a respected coach in the area who coached you in high school, and he can speak for your character and go, look, the kid made a dumb move. He knows he made a dumb move. He was hanging around with the wrong people, and he paid his time. He's been out 2 years. He's done this. You're going to have to rebuild your reputation, and by rebuilding your reputation, showing people that you've changed your life, and you're going to have to rely on people who can absolutely go to bat for you, where they put their reputation on the line. That's what it's going to take for you to overcome this. Now, let me tell you something. That sucks. Because I think we have a problem in this society. We will say someone is guilty and they deserve prison time and we will send them to prison. And if they pay their time and they're good citizens in prison and they come out, we still hold them back. And nothing in the sentence, by the way, did the judge say, I'm going to sentence Kyler to 2 years in prison and 20 years of wandering and misery and judgment. Am I right?
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I wish I could fix that single-handedly, Kyler, but I can't. I also think it's going to be easy for you to go, the deck is stacked against me. Nobody's going to give me a shot. So the only thing I can do is the illegal stuff, and you find an excuse to do it. I'm not saying you've been tempted with that, but I'm saying it's possible. Will you recognize that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like the cards are stacked against me. And
they are.
Listen,
let me tell you something, brother. I am anti-victim thinking. I'm for victor thinking. But in your case, the way our world looks at people, judges former prisoners, and it's wrong. So here's the deal. You're going to have to double down. You're going to have to work harder than you ever have worked before in your life to rebuild the reputation and build a group of people behind you that when they recommend you, companies go, whoa. And I love that you told them ahead of time about it, but you got to have people that are going to vouch for you and advocate for you, not just vouch for you, but advocate for you and open up doors for you. Because I will tell you, you cannot open the doors that other people can open because you have this societal stain on you that doesn't belong there.
Right.
So I'm giving you a little bit of a pep talk because this is going to be hard. But you better commit to it, young man, because if you do, you will be given a second chance and you'll do something great with it. Do you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, tactically speaking, do you understand what I need you to do?
Yeah, I got to find, you know, the supports that are willing to kind of back my place, so to speak,
and
their names on the line.
Who are the people in the community that are well-respected? They have a sterling reputation. And they say, Kyler, I believe in you. And by the way, you're going to have to swallow your pride and say, hey, I can't do this on my own. I blew it, but I want to make good. I want to rise from the ashes, but I cannot do it by myself. I need you. What do I need to prove to you? And you may have to take some jobs that aren't very exciting, that are really sucky, and you may have to work two or three jobs, but it is very important that you get any work you can do right now to keep your momentum, because I want you to avoid the temptation to get back into the previous life you were in. Do you hear me?
Yeah, of course. That's definitely not something that I want to go back to.
I know you don't, but a desperate person will do desperate things, yes?
Right.
So we got to keep you out of the desperate stage. Okay. So while we're looking for the right gig, and you said they haven't filled this position yet?
No, they haven't filled this position.
You know what I want you to do? I want you to swing for the fences. I'm going to use an American baseball reference. You ready? I want you to see if you can find three or four people who are really respectable, who will go to bat for you, and see if they'll contact that hiring manager on your behalf. and say, okay, we're willing to put our reputation on the line that Kyler's going to be a great employee for you and he's never going to break the law again. I want you to take a shot at it. What do we have to lose?
Right, of course.
Go for it. Let's see if we can, hey, let's see if we can fight for this thing. Take this position by the throat and show him your guts and your heart. Ooh, I like it. Let's take a shot. We got nothing to lose. All right, I got to get out of here, but before I do, you matter. You do have what it takes. That's you, Kyler, and everybody else. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.